The news this week that Kathy Warwick, the chief executive of the Royal College of Midwives, is retiring in the summer should be met with unconfined joy and celebration by all decent thinking Anglicans, and also most of the undecent thinking ones as well, to be frank. Why, I hear you ask? Well, on top of running the trade union that guides, trains, supports, and at times disciplines midwives in the UK, she also curiously sits on the board of the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, known colloquially as BPAS. BPAS is probably one of the most ill-named organisations in the country, because far too often their advice, and for the sake of you listening in, I just made the speech mark sign with my fingers when I said advice, their advice is get rid of the baby and pay us to do it. Abortion companies around the world do have a habit of misnaming themselves. Planned Parenthood in the USA, and yes, I did the speech mark thing there again with my fingers. Planned Parenthood is in the business of helping as many women as possible plan not to be parents, even when they are. At least these days, they don't concentrate their efforts on eliminating as many black people as possible. But I digress. Kathy Warwick got into a spot of bother last summer when she signed up the Royal College of Midwives to BPAS's We Trust Women campaign, a wonderful piece of politics that essentially promotes a woman's right to abort her baby all the way up to full term, even if the child is completely healthy and there is nothing wrong with him or her whatsoever. Yes, you did hear me say that. BPAS think that it is the right of every woman to kill their child if they've not yet given birth to them. Exactly at what stage during first and second stage labour this right vanishes, they're not so sure on. But hey, consistent arguments by liberals? No, I tend not to find them either. So you can see the problem with Kathy Warwick. With one breath, she wants to run an organisation that seeks to support women as they sometimes struggle to save the life of children in what is arguably the most dangerous thing that those children and their mothers ever go through. And with the other breath, she's saying, hey, it's not really a human being after all, and it has no rights. Who cares if it dies? Well, here at Radio Free Canterbury, we care, and so should you. Of course, abortion isn't quite as black and white an issue as some might argue. Certainly, when the life of the mother is in danger, then the decision as to whether or not to terminate the pregnancy suddenly takes on a whole new dimension. There are some fanatics who would condemn a pregnant woman to death through a dangerous pregnancy rather than spare her life. But these cases are few and far between, and outside of them there seems to be very little justification for killing one human being just to make the life of another easier. Certainly, in the Anglican tradition, abortion is seen as something that is really not very good. The Church of England, in its official briefing paper on the matter, has this to say about it. Quote, there is a consistent Church of England position, as expressed in reports and resolutions of the General Synod. In summary, the Church of England combines strong opposition to abortion with a recognition that there can be strictly limited conditions under which it may be morally preferable to any available alternative. The theological basis of this is that the fetus is God-given life with the potential to develop relationships, think, pray, choose, and love. So, as the 1983 Synod Resolution puts it, all human life, including life developing in the womb, is created by God in his own image and is, therefore, to be nurtured, supported, and protected. Close quote. And we here at Radio Free Canterbury think that's actually rather very good. But there is, of course, another, even better way to approach the issue of abortion, and that is via Jesus. Whilst the Church of England statement on abortion is worth commending, it does begin with the child and its value given to it by God. Whilst I don't want to reject that approach, and it is biblically true, I find that all good theology begins not with humans, but with Jesus. Let's think about him for a moment. The Christian Church has a doctrine called the hypostatic union, which essentially states that Jesus was both fully God and fully human, not a mix of the two. Now, I don't want to use this podcast for a crash course on the divinity of Jesus. Though after last week's debacle in Glasgow, one wonders whether Kelvin Holdsworth, the provost of St Mary's Cathedral, might need to go on one. But the key thing that comes out from this doctrine is that Jesus was fully God and fully human from the word go. Whilst the mysteries of the conception of Christ are something that I look forward to discussing with the Archangel Gabriel in the new heavens and earth, one thing theologians have pretty much agreed on since the year dot is that as soon as Mary's egg was fertilised by the power of the Holy Spirit, the resulting blastocyst was already Jesus, fully human and fully God. And yes, before you point out the obvious to me, even before theologians knew about things like blastocysts, they still believed that Jesus was fully human and fully God when he was a blastocyst. Theologians are clever like that. What this doctrine means is that if Kathy Warwick, in her guise as the propaganda chief for Baby Eliminations R Us, had come to Mary and told her that basically it was her right to get rid of the child within her, she'd have been killing God. Theologians disagree on a lot of things, but from 3 years study at a vicar factory in Oxford and the odd perusing of an academic journal about the Bible in the subsequent decade or so since then, I can tell you that most theologians would probably say killing God is a bad thing. Apart from, of course, theologians like Jack Spong, but then Jack Spong is to theology what Adolf Hitler is to Jewish childcare. But now we come to the glory of the way the doctrine of the hypostatic union interacts with our thinking about abortion and our own humanity. If it was always wrong to abort the baby Jesus because he was always completely God, at any time that you couldn't abort Jesus because he was always completely God, he was also always completely human. And the only difference between us and Jesus is that we aren't completely God, even though we are completely human and have been at every point since our conception. And here's the thing, if we haven't been completely human at every point since our conception, then neither was Jesus. And the doctrine of the hypostatic union, which says that Jesus was always completely God and completely human, that doctrine is wrong. And we can tear up most of what we believe about Jesus, which might suit some people in Scottish cathedrals, but not the rest of us. Actually, come to think about it, some people do think that they're completely God, but most of us don't have to mix with bishops every day of our lives, so it really doesn't impact us. Where was I? Ah, yes. When we start to view things by first thinking about who Jesus is, we get better theology. That's why all liberal theology has to try and first say something wrong about Jesus, because that's the quickest way to get to be able to say something wrong about humans as well, like whether they have any value. You'd be surprised the number of times I've raised this argument about the hypostatic union with a Christian who supports totally free access to abortion. Yes, they do exist. No, I don't understand it either. They almost always end up having to try to undermine the true nature of Jesus so that they can avoid the obvious theological point that is made. I've seen otherwise kosher and sound men and women suddenly become the most ardent adoptionists or docetists just to try to defend their right to kill babies. It's almost as ludicrous as a person I read yesterday arguing that when John 1:1 says that the Word was with God and the Word was God, what the Apostle John means by the word Word is DNA. I know, that was my response too. The Royal College of Midwives is going to appoint a new chief executive sometime during 2017. And this is actually a rather serious appointment that Christians in the UK should be praying about. Our midwives, the vast majority of whom work in the National Health Service, are amazing women and men who time and time again put themselves out for the mothers and fathers that they look after, let alone the children. My wife and I have been blessed enough to have had 4 children and to still have the privilege to be raising 3 of them. Whether it was the joy of a healthy delivery or the pain of a stillbirth, midwives were there in our moment of need and they looked after all 4 of our children with the care and attention they deserved, regardless of whether they were living or dead. It would be nice if their professional body had at its head a person who also wanted to care for every child every midwife encountered and viewed them as fully human and as someone who from conception was made in the image of God. This is Radio Free Canterbury and I'm Peter Old.